Daf Tazayin. Today's learning is sponsored by Amy and Moshe Cedarbaum and Nishbas Res Parale Bas Rabbi Shmuel Chaim HaKohen, and also by the partners Hashana before Shem Brindel Lea Bas Yehudis Ari Ella. Okay, so we got to the very top line of Tes Zayin Amin Aleph. The Gemara was busy talking about whether or not Asur Shlo Asur when it came to the Psaka base Shama as it relates to Tsaras Erva. And again, Beis Shammai says Tsaras Erva is permitted, Yibum is permitted for the Tsaras Erva is necessary, or Chalitza. So Gemara says, Toshma Bimei Rebbe Dosa Ben Horkinus, Hutru Tsaras Abbas Lach, and there was a particular Psak that exists in his time that Rebbe Dosa rather himself, Paskin, it would be allowed that the Yavam could perform Yibum to the Tsaras Abbas. So Shma Mina, also Shma Mina. So it wasn't simply a psak that Beis Shammai had, a position, but this is actually how they did halacha lemaisa also. So Gemara now wants to understand that this particular situation whereby Rebbe Dosa ben Hurkanus permitted such a Tsaras Abbas. So Gufa, Bime Rebbe Dosa ben Hurkanus, Hitiu Tsaras Abbas lach, and that was the maisa we heard. It was very difficult for the Chacham to understand how Rebbe Dosa could pass in this way, because we pass in like a base hill. How could this be? So Mipnei Shechacham Gadahaya, who's an incredible town of Chacham, a big Gadahador, Vein of Kamu Milavo, the base medrash, he got older and wasn't able to see, so he stopped coming to the base medrash. So they had to go send someone to talk to him to understand what was going on. So Amu Mi Yelech, they said, who's going to go to Rabbi Dosa to understand why Paskin like Beis Shammai? The Yodiu, and let him know that he was incorrect in his psak. So Amu Len, Rabbi Shua, Ani Yelech, I'll go. The Achar of me, and who's going to go after you? Rabbi Yelazar, Rabbi Elazar ben Azari will go. The Achar of it after him, who's going to go? Me? Rabbi Akiva. So Halchav Amdu al Pesach Beso, the three of them went and stood at the entranceway of Rabbi Dosa ben Hurkanus' house. The Nichnasa Shifchaso, and the Shifcha came. Amrullah, she told Rabbi, Chachma Yisrael Bon Etzlecha, three great rabbis came to visit you. So Amrullah, he tells his Shifcha, Yichnasu, let them come in. The Nichnasu, they all come in. The Tafsu, Rabbi Shua, he first holds on to Rabbi Shua. He couldn't see well, but he saw Rabbi Shua, he held on to him. So Shiveu al Mita Shazav, he placed him on a golden bench. And Amr Le Rebbe, Amr Le Tamidcha, Acher, V'yashiv, tell your other student to come in. So Amr Lo, Mihu, who's this other student that's following you? It's Rebbe Elazar ben Azaria. Amr, he says, V'yashal ben Azaria, Chavireinu, our dear friend Azaria had a child, I didn't know this. Kara Alav HaMikri, he invoked the Pasuk HaZeh, Na Ha'isi Gam Zakanti, V'lo Isi Tzadik Ne'ezav, V'zar Mevakesh Lachem, so it's a reference to when he was older, or rather when he was younger, Na Ha'isi, I knew the father Azaria, but I'm older, Gam Zakanti, I even know his son. It's also a reference to that Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria came from a very wealthy family that never saw Zarum Vakish Lachem, that they never looked for any bread because he had a very, very wealthy family. Next, Tavsuvo Shiva Amita Shazavi takes Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, places him on another golden bench. So Amalo Rebbe, Amor Tamidcha Acher V'yashav, tell your other student who's behind you also for him to come in. Amalo, he says, Mihu, who's this other student? Akiva ben Yosef, that's his name. Amrullah, Atahu Akiva ben Yosef, are you the famous Akiva ben Yosef, Sheshimcha Holech Misofa Olam Natsofo, that your name goes from one end of the world to the other name, in other words, you're the famous Akiva? Shev beni Shev, please sit down, and Kamoscha Yirbu B'Yisof, we shall have many more people like you in Klal Yisof. So, the three of them, and the four of them rather, sat down talking. Hizchilu Mesabim Yosef Halachos, they started talking about various topics in Shas. Ad Shigul Tzaras Abbas. Finally, they made their way over to the Sugya of Tzaras Abbas, this Machlokas Beisil Beshamer. Amr, they said, Le Tzaras Abbas Maho. What's the din by Tzaras Abbas? So Amr Lemi explains to them, it's Machlokas Beisham Beisil. And Halacha Kedivre Mihad, we paskinly asked Rabbi Dosa ben Hurkanus. And they said, Amr Lem Halacha Beisil. We paskinly like Beisil that Tzaras Abbas is a pot. It doesn't need a Yab Yivim, doesn't need Chalitza. So Amru Lei, they said to him, but Rebbe, Halo Mishimcha Amru, we heard in your name, Halacha Kibbeis Shammai. We heard you paskin, there's a particular Maisa, you paskin that the Yavam was permitted to the Tzaras Abbas. So Amru Lehem, so he says to the three tzaddikim, he says, Dosa Shematim, O Ben Hurkanus Shematim. Did you hear my name Dosa? Or perhaps you're just a child of Hurkanus. I've got some brothers. Was it me or one of my other brothers that paskin this way? Amru Lei, they says, Chai Rebbe, Stam Shemano, you're right, we actually heard Stam, meaning we just heard Ben Hurkanus. So Hurkanus' son paskin like Beis Shammai, but we didn't hear is actually Rebbe Dosa Ben Hurkanus. So Amru Lehem, he says, you should know, Ach Katan Yeshli, I have a younger brother, Bechor Satan, who? V'Yonasan Shimo, he's a Bechor Satan, we'll see Rashi what that means in a second. His name is Yonasan. V'Umi Talmide Shammai, he's from the students of Shammai. V'Hiz Haru, I warned him, Shoy Kafeach Hashem Behalachos, don't involve himself, he should not debate you guys about halachas, particularly in this area. L'Fishiyesh Imo Shalosh Meos Chuvos B'Tzaras Abbas Shimutaris. He has 300 explanations as to why a Tzaras Abbas would be permitted. So before you finish the Gemara, look at Rashi. What does it mean, Bechor Satan? It's a very strange term. Bechor is the oldest, even though he's the youngest. Satan's not a very endearing term. So Rashi explains here, I'm not sure exactly how he gets this, but some explain how it gets this way. Other Achronim, but I'm not going to explain this. But Rashi says four lines, narrow lines down, Bechor Satan, who? Charif v'omid al Shmua. He was very sharp. He stood on, he understood the sugya as well. V'osemaisa, and he acted upon how he felt was the correct understanding of the sugya. V'eino shav mishmua, so he won't retract on his understanding. Lasses kirabim, he won't give in to the rabbim. If he learned the sugya and he was smart, he was brilliant, he learned it his certain way, he was very stubborn and went his way. So don't get into any machlokas with my younger brother. He's called Bechor Satan. So back into the Gemara. Now, even though my younger brother Yonasan has 300 explanations as to why Tzaretz Bas is permitted to the Yavam, back to the Gemara, two wide lines down, Avam made ani, I'm going to testify to you, Alai Shemayim V'aretz Sha'al Meduchazu. This particular was like a little mill that Yoshev Chagah Navi, Chagah Navi himself sat on this, even though he never met him, he came generations earlier, he sat on this particular mill, V'amar, he said, Shloshu Dvarim, he said three things. Tzaretz Bas Asura, I mean, he passed like Beis Hillel, he was predated Beis Hillel, but Beis Hillel was in line with the plaque of Chagah Navi, that Tzaretz Bas is Asur. And Amon Moav Maaserinu Maaser Ani Bishvius. We'll get to that in a second. Amon Moav are not part of Eretz Yisrael proper. They were annexed in, and we'll get to how that works exactly. There was Shvius practice there, but they still took Maaser. We'll come back in a moment. And thirdly, Makablan Gerim Minat Kardunian Minat Tarmudim. And these were two areas that we could accept Gerim from these two areas. Either way, we see from this that Chagai Hanavi Paskin that Tzaretz Bas is Aser, and even though Beis Shammai said otherwise, and even though Yonasan had 300 explanations why it's Tzaretz Bas would be permitted, the Yavam, we have a Masorah, we have a tradition that overrides any other Psak later on in history. So that was the whole Maisa. So now the Gemara wants to understand, continues the Maisa, Tana. Kishenichnesu, when the three Rabbanim came in to visit Rabbi Dosa, Nichnesu v'Pesach Echad, they came in through one entrance. However, Kishayatsu, when they left his house, Yatsu Mishloshu Psachim, they left three different exits. Why? So if you look at Tosa explains two different explanations, two opposite explanations. Yatsu b'shlosh psachim towards the top. Shelo yimatzim kulam yachad. They did not want to bump into Yonasan, the younger brother, all together, because had they bumped him together and he had debated them and beat them in the debate, what would have happened perhaps was became behalachos. He would have challenged them in the halachos. And he would have forced them to paskin like him. So they didn't. If they were not together, they couldn't create a bezdin to paskin that Tzaretz Bas is permitted. So they said, let's all separate. And this way, if he bumps into one of us, the other two are not here, we can't paskin like him. That's one shot. Alternatively, inami yatu begimel psachim kidei shiimsu v'yishmu b'tshuvasa. They actually wanted to dafka bump into him. They figured, let's split up, and at least one of us will bump into him in the three directions in order that we can engage him in the conversation. So the Gemara goes on to say what happened was, who was the one who engaged him? It was Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva bumped into this younger brother, the Bechor Satan Yonasan. Akshilev Okme, he had some questions and answers and responses, and apparently Yonasan wasn't so satisfied with Rabbi Akiva's response. Amarlo, Atahu Akiva, Shishimcha Holech Misofa Olam Atsofa. You're the Akiva whose name goes from one end of the world to the other. You're the famous Akiva. Ashrecha Shizachisa L'Shem, praise to you that you got such a name. However, Adain Lohigata Leroy Bakab, you're not even as smart as the cattle shepherd, whatever you call it, cattle shepherd, not a shepherd, but those who watch cattle, you're not so great, unfortunately. And Amarlo, Rabbi Akiva, in his great humility, he says, Rabbi Akiva, Vafil Roy Tzon, I'm not even as great as the shepherds who apparently were a lower level than the Roy Bucker. You're right, I'm a nothing. Either way, that was the give and take. So now the Gemara is now addressing the other two halachas that Chagai Navi said. One was about Amun Moav, and the other one was about the different places that we can or cannot accept Gerim from. So Amun Moav, Ma'asin Meiser Ani Bishrius. Now normally the halacha is, during the year Shemitah, there's no Meiser, there's no Shemitah Meiser, no one owns it. That's a regular year. So this year, Shemitah, if you buy Shemitah fruit, or you can't really buy Shemitah fruit, but if you get Shemitah fruit, you don't take Trumas and Maises. It's completely potter. Just like any other Hefker fruit during the regular year, even a non-Shemitah year, you don't take Trumas and Maises because nobody owns it. So Shemitah is the same exact thing. But however, somehow Amun and Moav were unique, whereby Shavis was kept, but Maiser Ani was practiced as well. What does that even mean? So Gemara explains as follows. That the Amar Mar, Harbe Krochim Kivshu Oli Mitzrayim. When Yeshua, and Moshe, and eventually Yeshua took Amiso into Eretz Israel, from the exile, from the redemption of Mitzrayim. So they conquered, Yeshua conquered certain cities. However, when we returned back from Bavel, after the for Bayis Sheni with Ezra, there they was not reconquered by Bavel. The initial Kedusha that Yeshua had infused into the Eretz Yisrael and the surrounding cities was only temporary. The moment that they were, the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed and we were exiled, that Kedusha was lost. It had to be retaken by the second return, but that didn't happen. So they did not have a Kedusha the second time around. V'nicham, he left these areas, Ezra left the areas that k'dei sheyismichu aleihem aniyim b'shvius. He left them open, whereby that they're not going to have kedushas Eretz Yisrael, and the Jews could work the land, and they could provide food to the people in Eretz Yisrael during Shemitah, because in Eretz Yisrael, as we know, like this year, you can't work the land. It's hard to find food. So they go to the outside areas, which were not reconquered by Ezra, and they are not kadosh with kedushas Eretz Yisrael, and they give them food. Now, even though Shemitah wasn't practiced in these cities, they still practiced Ma'aser Ani, so it was a quasi-kedusha, because we don't have Ma'aser Ani in Chutz La'aretz here. So nonetheless, these areas of Ammon and Moab were not the Kedushas Yisrael, Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, Lagabe Shemitah, but they did have Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, Lagabe Ma'aser Ani. Fine, there's a long coast I'm not going to go through. So let's try to figure out which areas exactly is Ammon and Moab that it's referring to, because it seems to be a Seir and Gemara, but that's the other psak that came from Chag HaNavi. So then the Gemara says, regular Ma'aser, I think so. I think regular Ma'aser. I'm not sure why Dafka Ma'aser Ani, but I think so, yeah. Because Ma'aser Ani was given to the Neem in particular. Yeah. So they have, yeah. Yeah. All of them, yeah. But Ma'aser Ani was in order to help give the Anim what to eat. So then the Gemara says the third psak of Chag HaNavi was Mekablin Gerim Mina Karduyim Vartarmudim, that you Mekabel Gerim from these places. Now the issue was in these places we were unclear whether or not people who lived there were Jewish and they just intermarried, in which case the children were actually Jewish and they're Mamzerim, so you can't be Mekablin as Gerim. Or, no, we view them as mamish non-Jews, and you can be mekabel them as gerim. So the psak of Chag HaNavi was, these two areas of Karduyim and Matarmudim were non-Jews, and therefore gerus would be acceptable from them. So asks the Gemara, Eini, is that really true? V'atani rami barcham barichezkel. Ein mekablen gerin min haKarduyim. You can't accept gerim from these places. These places are considered Jews who intermarried, who assimilated, and they're mamzerim that are going around. You can't accept the mamzer as a ger. That doesn't work. So Amr, so Zemastira, what would the status be of those people living in Karduyim? Are they Jewish or not Jewish? So Amr Rashi, Karduyim Itmar. It's a different Karduyim with a dalid versus Karduyim with a tuf. So Karduyim with a tuf, Itmar, Kidami Inche, Karduyim Psulim. Those are Jews who intermarried and are Pusul, they're Mamzerim. We don't accept Gerim from them, but Karduyim is a place of non-Jews whereby we would accept Gerim. The Kedami others have a slightly different version of this discussion. Tani Rami Bar Yechezkel Ein Mekablin Gerim Mina Kartumi. Don't accept Gerim from this city. My love, Hainu Kartuyim, Hainu Kardum. Are these not the same places? Amar Rav Ashi Lo, Kartuyi Lechud, V'Karduyi Lechud. The two different locations. Kedami Inche, Kartuyi Apostle, the Jewish Jews who are Mamzerim, and Karduyim are non-Jews, and we can't accept Gerim from Karduyim. So Gemara now says, Rabbi Yochanan, Visavi, I'm not sure exactly Visavi, but it's a person's name. Adamri Tarbaya, both of them hold, Ein Mekablim Gerin Minar Tarmudim. We don't accept Geris from Tarmudim. So is that really true? We don't accept Gerim from Tarmudim? That we said above differently, but Umi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hachin, does it really say this? V'atan, the Mishnah says, Kolak Samim Habam Min Harekim Tehorim, Rabbi Huda Mitame. If you find the Kesem from Damnida, from the city of Rekim, the Tanakhama holds it's Tahor, because we assume it came from a non-Jew. Yehuda says, no, it's Matame. We assume it came from a Jewish woman, the Ksamim. Mipnei Shem Gerim, Vivitam B'mein Ov, the Kochavim. So they come from amongst, they're really Gerim that live there, and they assimilate amongst the Goyim Tahorim. So they assimilate amongst them, and therefore, anything that comes from there is going to become Tame, according to Rabbi Yehuda. So Bahavinam Ba, the Gemara wants to understand, how do we paskin the Gabi this halacha? Do we view them, the Ksamim are Tame? I mean, if you think they're the Jews that come from them? Or we say that they're going to come from them, the Ksam would be Tahor. Vavinam Bal, Gemara says on the top of Tezayinam Abayz now, V'kapasik V'tanei, Mibein Ha'ovni Kachavim, V'afilu Min Tarmud. We assume that they come from non-Jews, and therefore the Ksamim are going to be Tahor, and even if it comes from Tarmud, they're Tahor. V'amar, Rabbi Yochanan, Zosimaris, Mikablin Gein Mitarmud. In other words, if we assume the Ksamim that come from Tarmud are Tahor, that means they're goyim. That's where they come from. They're from the goyim. That means we can accept them as gerim as well. So here we see that you can accept them as gerim, but before we said that Yochanan says you can't be makabel gerim from Talmud. So there's a stira. V'chitayim, if you're going to tell me zos v'lo svirle, maybe there's a Yochanan just saying this is how the Mishnah holds, but he himself doesn't paskin this way v'lo svirle. But Hamar Rabbi Yochanan halacha k'stam Mishnah, but he always paskin like a stam Mishnah. The stam Mishnah here says that the ksamim of rekim and tardumim are tahor, which implies that there are goyim that live there, and you can be makabel gerim. So there's a stira where Rabbi Yochanan holds. And the Gemara says, Amarai ninhu, I'll leave the Rabbi Yochanan. There's a machlokas Amarai, what Rabbi Yochanan paskin, how he paskin, so that's why there's a stira. It's unclear how he paskin halacha l'maisa, whether they were gerim, rather whether they were goyim, or whether they were Jews that assimilated. And before we go weiter, go back to Amunal for a second, just the toes in the bottom here. The toes in the very bottom of Test Zion Amunal tells us, that kol haksamim habam merekim tarim. All these stains, blood stains you found there, are all going to be considered tar, which implies that the city of Rekim is full of non-Jews. Therefore, the ksamim are tar. V'yafagav the berekim nami hava Yisrael. Wait a second. We know there were Jews that lived in Rekim. How do we know? The very first mission, Maseches Gittin, tells us Gittitam berech Gittin afa mevi mina Rekim and mina tager. Chagat referring to which areas of Eretz Yisrael do you not have to recite you have to say that it was written in front of these two Eidim, which are the one of the borders, and one of the borders of Eretz Yisrael is Rekem, which implies that Jews lived in Rekem. You don't have to say Befarnechtem. So Jews lived there, not non-Jews. And Tosafot answers Mikomakom Ksamim Habam Merekem Tahorim. You're right. Even though Jews lived there, but if we find any Kesem that came from there, we assume it came from a non-Jew. Meaning Jews and non-Jews both lived there. So why do we assume the Ksamim if Jews lived there also? Why are we assuming the Ksamim Dafka came from non-Jews? So answer Tosafot. They love the Yisrael Ninu. They can't be from the Jewish ladies. The Yisrael Matzim Ksamim, the women would hide the Ksamim. You wouldn't find them. So anything that you would find, we assume that would come from the non-Jews. So in a Hanami, Jews and non-Jews lived there, but any stains that we found, l'chor, they would be from the non-Jews who were not so tzanu with this, because the Jews would make sure to hide these Ksamim. So back inside the Gemara now on Amud Beis. Gemara says five lines down from the top here. Mitarmod, my Talmud. What was the reason why we would not accept the Gerim from Talmud according to this opinion of Rabbi Yochanan? What was wrong with these Jews that lived there, or the non-Jews that lived there? So Gemara says, Pligiba Rabbi Yochanan Vesavi. That's Machlokas. What was the reason why we wouldn't accept Gerim from this city? In other words, we thought that all the people lived there were Jews who assimilated, and you can't accept Gerim from a Mamzer. They're a Mamzer, not a Ger. So Chad Amar, one explained, Mishum Avdei Shlomo, because the Jewish women had married the servants of Shlomo's house. And Rashi explains here that two lines down from the top here, Avdei Shlomo, Shenasu B'nai Yisrael Machmas Oshon. They lived in the house of Shlomo. Even though they were above them, they still had royalty. So the Jewish women wanted to have royalty. They wanted to have a lot of money. So they married the Avdei Shlomo who weren't Jewish. And the Vidarin Sham B'chezkas of the Chachamim. They lived there. Everyone assumed that they were non-Jews. The Kesavar, however, the women were Jews, and they married non-Jews. The Kesavar, Ovei Kochavim Ve'Eved, Abbas Yisrael, Havlad Mamzer. Now, this is part of a larger machlokas Tosafot gets into. I'm not going through right now. The Gemara's later on in the Masechta will deal with this, but just to assume like Rashi, just to be simple right now, that Ovei Kochavim were an Eved, Abbas Yisrael, the child is Jewish, but the child's a Mamzer, it's a Vlad Mamzer. And for that reason, we can't accept Gerim from the city, because they're Vlad Mamzerim. There's no Geris for a Mamzer. That's one pshat. They married Avdei Shlomo. The other pshat, the Gemara says, is V'chad Amar Mishum Bnos Yishlaim. What exactly is Bnos Yishlaim, the daughters of Yishlaim? So Gemara explains. Bishma, I understand. L'man Damar Mishum Avdei Shlomo Kesavar Ovid Kochavim Ha'Veved Haba Abbas Yisrael Vlad Mamzer, like we just saw before. That makes sense. They married Avdei Shlomo. The product of that is a Vlad Mamzer. L'man Damar Mishum Bnos Yishlaim Mahi. What exactly happened with the daughters of Yishlaim? Why was that going to be an issue of not marrying anyone from Talmud? So the Gemara explains that Pligiba of Yosef Rabbanim. There's another machlokas. What happened with Bnos Yerushalayim? V'tevayim Mishmei the Rabba Bar Chana. Both them had a machlokas. What the understanding of Rabba Bar Chana was? Chanamar one said Tracer Alfe Gavre. There were 12,000 men. Vishisi Alfe Kashtui and 6,000 Kashtui. Rashi's Kashtui are people who Moshe Keshes, people who shoot bow and arrows, archery. So the 12,000 men plus 6,000 archers. The Chanamar one felt Tracer Alfe Gavre Uminayu Shisa Alfe Kashri, 12,000 men, and among them, not in addition to them, but among them were 6,000 archers. And Bishash Niklansu Ovdikacham Lahichal. when the non-Jews took over the Beis Mikdash and destroyed it, Hakol Nifta al Kesev Izav, and most non-Jews went and took the gold and the silver. However, Haim, these 12,000 or 18,000 men, Haim Nifnu al Benos Yishlaim, they went to rape the girls of Yishlaim, Shinemar Tez Nepasik, Noshim B'tzion Anu B'sulos Bar Yehuda. And the children of these relationships were the Jews who lived in Tarmod, and they were also Vlad Mamzerim. So either they were Avdei Shlomo, or they were the results of the Menos Yishlaim, the terrible thing that happened, of these 12,000, 18,000 men, and they ended up being Vlad Mamzerim. And for that reason, we don't accept Gerim from the city of Tarmod. So Gemara now says two wide lines down. Amar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Amar Yochanan, Pasuk Zeh, Sar HaOlam Amru. The following Pasuk, which you said on Amr Aleph, was said by the Sar HaOlam, which Rashi says is a certain Malach. He said this, Nar Hayisi Gamza Kanti, I was young, and now also when I'm old. So Man Amr, who is the author of this pasuk? Elaim, if you're going to tell me, Kutcher Brichu said this pasuk, Meika Zikne Kame, does a Kodesh Baruch Hu get old? Certainly not, so he can't be saying he was a Kanti. The El David Amr, if it was David who said this, who wrote most of Tillim, Mikashish Kulihad, the David, well, he wasn't that old, David. He lived till 70, was a nice age, but wasn't so old. Elohu said it, Shmamina the Sahar Olam Amu. However, who the Malach of the Olam, he was one who said this. Now, there's a fascinating Tosos here. Rarely do you see Rabbeinu Tam or any of the Baal Tosos get into such depth of Malachim and of different Agadotas, but look at the Tosos, Dibur Maskil, Pasuk Zeh, Sahar Olam Amu. Who exactly was the Sahar Olam? Fascinating Midrashim quotes. It doesn't explain all of them, but hopefully we have some understanding of what's going on here. Kashle Rabbeinu Tam. Dasya Pai, one of the Payatim, who wrote the different Yotzes that we say, Hasar, he wrote the following quotation. Hasar, ha-misharis nar, nikerhu metatron, ha-nichbad v'hanora. That was the statement that said in, I think, Yotzes of Simchas Torah. So Alma, metatron hu, sar ha-olam. This sar was a metatron. Metatron, if you remember from the Sugyas and Masechas Chagiga, that's a metatron who tricked Acher, Elishim, and Nevuya. So that metatron, he's the sar ha-olam. That's what the Piyot said. So sar ha-olam, shenikr nar, he's also called nar. He's the nar, he's metatron. However, there's a Piyot Acher, there's a different poem. Tukaf, which says Yasad, Tukaf Metachon Sahar Nefach Le'ish Mibasar. Metachon actually came from flesh. He came from a human being and was thrown into the fire and became the Metachon. Who was that? Mashma de Chanochu. Chanoch, the Torah of Yonasan tells us, Chanoch was thrown into the fire, he was killed, and he actually transformed into the Metachon. That's a different shot. So it wasn't the first shot of the Metachon was this type of Malach, which is a Nar. Rather, it's Chanoch was apparently who turned into the Metachon. So v'yevshar hayam b'maisa breishit. Now I missed the line. Sorry. V'yevshar shi'chanoch sar olam. Now can't be chanoch was a sar olam. The beperek elu trevos amar the b'sheishes yimei breishis pasach sar olam. The sar olam said during the 6 days of creation amar yismach hashem b'maasav v'chanoch lo hayam b'maisa breishit. He wasn't yet created for maisa breishis. So was he chanoch? Who was he? Was his name Na'ar? Who exactly is the sar olam? He says, really, the Metachon isn't the Sahar Olam. Metachon is really from Chanoch. It wasn't really the Sahar Olam. And when the Gemara in Chulun says the Sahar Olam, it's not referring to Metachon. V'had nikra nar, and in fact, it's called the nar, lo mishum dechsiv nar ha'isi gam zakanti, ela nar shekein haya shemo. The name of the Sahar Olam was also called nar. He had multiple names, Sahar Olam, he was called nar, different name, not because he was young, but that's his name, was nar. We have in a medrash, Bishmona Shemel Shematachon Mona Naminar. Among the names, he has 8 different names of Metachon. So again, it's very, very confusing. I don't have much clarity what's going on here, to be honest. But this is a fascinating discussion. Was he Chanoch? Was he Metachon? Was he Nar? Was he Sar Olam? And this is a fascinating discussion that Tosas oftentimes does not deal with these deeper concepts. And just finally, the Tosas says, V'od, Diagudas HaChalko Zuhazu. We have many Midrashim that argue with each other, especially in Galta. The Bereshish Rabbah, Yesh Om Chanoch Meis. Some say Chanoch actually died. Like we have in the pasuk Kilachu also, and others say Chanoch never died; he just walked right into Gan Eden. So we have Machlokas. What happened to Chanoch? Machlokas, who exactly is Metachon? Machlokas, who is Sar Olam? So it's a bit unclear here, but I just found it was fascinating that Tosa actually dealt with this esoteric topic. So now back inside the Gemara, the last 7-8 lines or so of the page here, Gemara says, "Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yonasan, Ma'i Dechsev." What does the pasuk mean when it says there's a pasuk that appears in Eicha? It says, no, it's in Eicha. It's in, the end of Sefer Devarim. It says, this is Eicha, yeah. Yado paras tsar akol machamedeh. That his hand was spread out, the enemy's hand was spread out over that which is precious to us. What does that mean? The Amon Amov. It references the Amon Amov. When everybody else entered the base of Migdash, Hakol nifnu al kesevizav. Everyone went to take the gold and silver. V'heim amunamoav nifnu al sefer Torah. They went to the sefer Torah because the akol machmadeha, that which is most precious to us, they went to confiscate the sefer Torah, to burn it. And Amru, this says, zeh shekasebo lo yavo amoni moavi kal shem. This is the Torah that says that a amun and moavi cannot intermarry into Am Yisrael, yisaf beish. Therefore, they burned the sefer Torah because it was speaking bad about their nations. And it says further in the pasuk in Eichel, in the beginning, Tziva Hashem liYaakov, Tziva Tzarav. He commanded, Hashem commanded Yaakov to the enemies who were around him. Amar Rav, Rav said, Kegon humna lepum nara. A reference to these goyim who lived around this area of this particular river. So that was the children of Ammon. These were the people who lived there. They were terrible neighbors that caused us terrible tzaras. Gemara says further now, Amar Yehuda, Amar Rav, Asi, Oved Kochavim, Shekidesh Bizman Hazeh, Choshishin LeKedushin. That the Shema Me'aseres HaShvatim Hu, fascinating thought, that if a Goy marries a Jewish girl, we're concerned that maybe it's actually a good Kedushin. If a non-Jew marries a girl, Jewish girl, it's really not a good Kedushin. But maybe this non-Jew came from the Aseres HaShvatim, that were in Niglu, and they were in Galus, and maybe they're from them, and they have Jewish lineage, and it would be an acceptable Kedushin. How could that be? How called the parish? We have a concept that whenever someone separates from a certain population, we assume it goes like the rove. So most of the non-Jews in this world are non-Jews. Very unlikely. A small percentage come from the Aseret HaShvatim. So how could it be Shetz HaChashash that they married from the Aseret HaShvatim? So Gemara says, no, Beduchta the Kavir. Now, Duchta Kavir, this Machlok is Rashi does what that means here. Beduchta Kavir, Rashi says, B'nei Aseret HaShvatim V'chol Kavua Kemechza Mechzadamim. Called the parish, Meruba parish means when they moved out of the area. We assume we'll go based on the road. But if, let's say, they stayed in the location, you went to marry a man from his city, he's Kavua, he didn't leave. And Kavua, even though statistics would say otherwise, in the end day, we have a concept without explaining why. Mechsa, Mechsa, we view this at 50-50, and therefore, even though, again, statistics don't dictate this, but Halacha does, we view this at 50-50, and therefore there's a chance that maybe he does come from a Sefer Shvatim, and it would be a good Kedushim. Now, Tosis finds issue, takes issue with this. Tosis in the very bottom here said, Beduchta de Kavia, Beduchtayu, Havu Rabba, Ruba, Me'asaris HaShvatim. Not because Mechsa, Mechsa. He says, Lo Kemosha Perish Bekuntris, Mishum Dechol Kavua, Kemechsa, Mechsa Dami, because Di Azel Iyu, the Gava, called the Parish, Meruba Parish. If the boy, the man, leaves his city and goes to marry her, that's not mechsa mechsa. That's called a parish, meruba parish. What it means is this is another way of saying that since that city comes from, this particular city is a place of rov asaras shvatim, so when he's a parish or even when he's a kavua, either way, it's going to be the rov of that city. Not rov of the world, but rov of that particular city had Jews from asaras shvatim. That's why we're choshu. But it's ein echadami if it's a Jew, if it's a non-Jew from some other random city where there's no yichas of the asaras shvatim, there wouldn't be of concern at all that it comes from the asaras shvatim. It's only when it's from one of these cities where we know the asaras shvatim had located to. Yeah, as the Gemara says, finish the last two lines here. Test Zion and Beis. The Amar Rebbe Abba Bar Kahana. It says in Melachim Beis, Vayanchem Bachlach uvechavur Nahar Gozen Vari Madai. These are different cities where the ten Shvatim were exiled to. Again, not going to mean much to us, but Chalach is Chalzon, vechavur Zeh Chadiyav, Nahar Gozen Zo Ginzok. Arimada is Chamdan v'Chavrosa, and all the neighboring suburbs. Armila others say Zo Nihar v'Chavrosa. So these are different cities. V'Chavrosa said, "Man, who are the suburbs of these larger cities?" Amar Shmuel, Krach, Mushki, Chitki, V'Dumki. These again, all the different cities where we know that Sarah Shatim had been exiled to. Rabbi Yochanan, the Kulan, the Psul, all of them are Pasul. In other words, we assume that Sarah Shratim went there, and all the intermarriages that they had, the children are going to be of Vlad Moms there, and they're all going to be Pasul from these particular cities. So let's quickly recap what we did today. We first started talking about that Maisa of those who have been Hyrcanus, that his brother had allowed a Taras Yavam. That's because he was unique, he passed like Shammai, but everyone else didn't pass like him. The Maisa of Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shub, and Elazar ben Azar are going to visit him, and he says, don't get into a discussion with my brother, he's too smart, he's too stubborn. And in the end day, Rabbi Kiva got into a discussion with him, and he had a very nice word for Rabbi Kiva. And then the three psakim of Chag about Hanavi, that one was that the din tzaras yavam is aser like Beis Hillel. Number two is that Amun and Moav, that Shemitah was practiced there, but they still took Maaser Ani to feed the Aniyim in Eretz Yisrael, that they needed the food. And the third psak was that your Makabel again from the cities of Karduyim and Tarmudim. We said the two cities was one Karduyim, one is Kartuyim, two different places. And then we got into a discussion of what the reason why we don't accept Gerim from Tarmud, why we assume that they're apostle Jews there, they're Mamzerim, either because of the Shlomo, they married into the royal family, and therefore the children of Vlad Mamzerim, or because of the Midos Yushalayim, that these 12,000 or 18,000 men were bought on these Benos Yishlaim and had children from these relationships, and the Vlad were mamzer. And then the Maisa of the Sahar Olam that set the Pasuk Nahaisi Gam Sakanti, fascinating discussion between Tom, who exactly Sahar Olam is, who's Matatram, and then finally, that with the Chashash of a people of a non-Jewish woman marrying a non-Jew, we assume maybe there's a Chashash that they come from the Asar Seshvatim, and therefore the children perhaps should be Vlad Mamzer. Okay? Everybody have a wonderful day.
The sheet of Vasi, the